of Jesus Christ, I just pray over the heart of every single person who has clicked on this video. I thank you because they didn't just stumble here, you drew them here. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak through my mouth, that the words that I will speak, they will be spirit and life. And that you just bring healing, restoration, and freedom, not just to these people who are listening, but to their families and the generations that will come after them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So today I'm going to be sharing my journey and my story of how I went from lack to abundance. I want to be very careful when I'm sharing this story because I'm not in any way trying to say that my parents didn't work hard to provide for me. They did. My parents gave us a good life for as long as they could. Growing up, I remember my childhood being full of me. We lived in a big house, by the way. However, I noticed that after a while, you know, things started becoming a bit tight at home. And there was just the constant conversation about how we had to be careful to manage what we had, because we didn't have a lot. I had to grow up really fast. I started thinking about money at a very young age. Because of that, I had to start working. I think I started working when I was maybe 17. At the time, I wasn't born again. So I didn't really, there were a lot of things that I didn't know. Let me just say my mind was in darkness. And by that darkness, I don't even just mean evil. I mean like ignorance too. My mind was in darkness. And I just thank God for my friends. I remember I went to my friend Oluchi. This was after I'd gotten saved. I was talking to her about it and just pouring out my heart. And she just said to me, like, what if this thing is a spiritual thing? Like, have you heard of generational curses before? And I don't know why. To this day, I don't know why my reaction was so strong. Thank God I had a relationship with God where I would always go back to God, always go back to him and say, oh, this is how I'm feeling, or this is what I'm thinking. God was like, listen to her. So I went back to school the next day because I had gone home for the weekend. I went back to school and I went to meet Oluchi. She was in a hostel and I just took a more humble approach to say, I'm very sorry that I scoffed or I was rude when you tried to speak to me about this. And this is something else. When you have friends who love you, who give you counsel that make you feel a certain type of way, when you realize that they were right, be humble enough to go back and say, oh, I'm sorry for how I, you know, reacted. You were right. Like, be humble enough to take correction and to be accountable to other people. That's the only way you can grow. So I went back to my friend and I said, I'm very sorry for how I, you know, reacted. I guess I was just really taken unawares by the things that you said. Please, can you speak to me more about this generational curse thing? So she just really started opening up to me and sharing with me and started to educate me about it. But the things she was telling me are things that by the grace of God, I now have more knowledge and insight about. And I'm sure many of you can also relate, you know, to this. Maybe in your family, nobody will ever get married unless they have a child outside of marriage first. Then they will now, once they get pregnant, they will now get married. Maybe in your family, whenever people get married, it is always the woman that ends up taking care of the man. The man may have been doing so well, but once he just gets married to the woman, everything will just start going downhill for him. If they go to some churches, they will tell him that, oh, his wife is a witch. His wife is not a witch. Do you understand? His wife is as clueless as he is as to what is going on. You know, maybe in your family, the men don't live beyond the age of 50. Once they are 50 years old, they must die. Once they are a particular age, they must die. Once you notice these patterns, don't be casual, you know, about it. Don't say, oh, I'll eat more healthily, I'll work harder. Don't do that. If God does not help you break that yoke, you are going to be subject to it. When you decide that you've decided to follow God, you are a Christian, you know, all of those beautiful things. Your great-great-great-great-grandfather some 50 years ago or 500 years ago may have done some funny things in your family. I'm speaking especially as an African, because as Africans, we have that a lot. I'm seeing people saying they want to, you know, return to, they are calling it their roots, saying that Christianity is the white man's religion. See, please listen to me. Our forefathers were not even happy under the worship of these deities or small gods. They were being tormented. Their will was being violated, many of them suffered, many of them were had to be killed to be offered as, you know, sacrifices. In some cultures, if the king dies, they'll say the king cannot go alone. They must kill 7 virgins with him, innocent women. These are the parts of the culture that they are not talking about. They're trying to make it look like it's one beautiful thing that you should be wanting to have. It's a shackle that Jesus Christ has freed us from. So now when your great grandfather has made that, you know, pledge for himself and his, you know, descendants forever, it's a covenant. A covenant is enacted with blood. So I don't know what blood was spilled, whether it was the blood of a human being or the blood of an animal. Blood was just spilled to seal that covenant. So when you decide to now worship Jesus Christ, you are more or less violating the terms of that covenant. They now have like legal right to oppress you. So you now see that a lot of people are Christians and they are saved, but they are struggling. Whether you are in the night, you're sleeping, something comes to come and press you. You keep shouting Jesus every night, shouting. These are real things that believers are going through. So we need to teach people about the power of covenants. Any area in your life where there is darkness, and in this area, I mean a lack of illumination or knowledge about something, the enemy can still torment you in that area. So Oluchi and I would go to the chapel every evening. I didn't even know that what I was doing was biblical. Scripture speaks about how the prayer of a righteous man availeth much and makes tremendous power available. So as I was going to the chapel every night and praying, I was giving the words that I was speaking power. You have to first pray. That prayer will now generate the power that will make the words you are speaking effective. And so we will go to the chapel every night. I was praying not just for myself, but for my entire family as well. And let me tell you, the minute I started doing those prayers, it's like, have you ever seen like an ant hill? Like those ant hills in the ground. If you kick it, you just see ants running out. That was almost that was the same thing that happened. Immediately I started praying those prayers for my family, I started to experience all sorts of things. Jesus has saved me. And when I say Jesus has saved me, I don't just mean, oh, for my soul to be able to make it into heaven. Jesus has saved me. So I started to get attacked because of this thing. And the Lord showed me how to fight. The Lord took me on a journey where he sets me free. And sets me free to a place where I can begin to enjoy blessings from him without interruptions from anything. One of the things the Lord told me was to say that I detach myself from that and I attach myself to the family of Christ. I declare that the blood that is flowing in my veins is the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever cannot touch Jesus cannot touch me. I started to insist on that. And as light began to enter my mind, I started getting free. I started praying to God for wisdom. I started praying for favor as well. And I was praying for mercy. These were the three things I was praying for every day. I'll pray for God's mercy. I'll pray for God's favor. I pray for God's wisdom. So people always tell me, you are so wise. It's not my wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. I asked him to give me his wisdom and he gave it, you know, to me. He helps me to make the right choices. He helps me to know what to say, what to do at every point in time. That has nothing to do with me. That is God. So that's how my journey of breaking out from lack started. I wish I could say that it was a job that I got. There's none of these things. It was God first setting me free of the bondage of that curse. I first of all tackled this thing in the realm of the spirit. I had to get free in the spirit first and foremost. Many times people think that deliverance can only come through somebody laying on of hands on you or somebody praying, you know, for you. That's just one aspect to, you know, deliverance. Deliverance also comes through the things you hear, through light, through knowledge that dispels darkness. After I sorted things out in the realm of the spirit, the Lord also started to teach me certain keys for abundance or wealth or, you know, success. And one of those keys, I'm going to be sharing one, is giving and honor. And giving is not only financial. It can also be your gifts, your services, your, you know, talents. You're willing to offer them to God's kingdom. God will begin to prosper you because the harvest is plenty. And God is looking for laborers. So when he finds someone that is willing and yielded, he begins to give them so much to be able to get that job done. Who is going to feed the widows? Who is going to take care of the orphans. God has said he's a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows. God cannot come down from heaven to be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows. It is you. You will be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus will bless you so that you can supply the needs of those people, so that they too, they will now look up and say, God, thank you. Sometimes all I had in my account was 5,000 naira. And when I go to church, God will tell me, sow it. That was all I had, 5,000 naira. I will say, God, how am I going to go back home? He will say, there is a free bus. God is testing your heart in those moments. I just surrendered my life to God and said, you will be Jehovah Jireh. I will trust you to give me the wisdom to not only generate an income, but to continue to sustain it. When Isaac was going to bless his son, was it Isaac? Yes, Isaac was going to bless Esau. Why didn't he just say, my son, come and kneel down here. Let me just bless you. After all, you're my son. He said, go and prepare me a meal, venison, that I may eat and my heart may be gladdened so that I will bless you. Because there's something about honor that elevates a person's spirit and makes them dig deep to just bless you. David himself even said, I will not offer to the Lord my God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. So we have to dead this non-sacrificial Christianity life. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of death. You can't hold on tightly to anything. And this is even beyond money. God is always testing our hearts. If you are willing to look at somebody and say, oh, I need to honor this person. Like, I see the value of this person and I want to ascribe this to this person just to be able to say thank you. The Lord sees your heart. Whether it is food, you can cook. You shall say, let me bring this food to this person. As long as I am alive, this man of God will not be hungry. He must always have corn in his house. He must always have garri in his house. God honors all those things. So please, don't join people to be talking online. I've said this thing so many times to you people. When people are talking, look at their results. The people that are talking to you, the thing that they are giving you counsel about, is that how you want your life to look? Jacob served Laban. Laban was a prosperous man. He honored him with his time. He served him for 14 years, I think, if not more. He served honor, and that grace that Laban had for success also descended upon Jacob, so where Jacob was also very, very prosperous. So let us not be people who are so quick to look down on others to say, what's the difference between me and this person? You can see the difference between you and them. Ask God, how can I honor this person? Like, that is another way to break into certain graces. Another thing that helped me break out of lack into abundance was hard work and diligence. It's very serious. I work very hard. Everybody that knows me knows that I am hardworking, I'm diligent. I'm constantly thinking of ways to reinvent myself, to get better. I'm not just praying, God bless me, and then I'm sitting down waiting for the heavens to open. When I pray that God should bless me and give me favor, I now apply to a job, believing that I will be the favored one. It's a scripture that speaks about how the Lord will bless the work of your hands. So if your hand is not working, what is the Lord going to bless? These are some of the issues. So that people that say, okay, I've given, I've been praying, God is not blessing me. Have you ventured out to look for a job? Have you asked all of your friends, your relatives, everybody, please, I'm looking for a job. I can do this or do that. Like, there must be somebody that is willing to give you a chance. And when they give you that chance, you stay at it. You don't say, no, I am the favored one. My first job should be MD. If what you can do is to be cleaning the toilet, clean it faithfully and diligently. Were we not the ones that were hearing one news about how one woman, I think whether she was a security or a cleaner or something in a hotel, found money in a safe and she spoke about it, and from that, you know, favors started coming and she had PR in Canada and all sort of things started happening for her. Was she working as the MD for that thing to happen? No, she was just faithful with the small that has been given to her. And scripture says it as well, that if you're faithful with little, you will be trusted with much. Some people are shouting, God, give me the blessing and test me with it. God is already testing you, whether you are aware of it or not. At your level, God is seeing what you can handle. And then the last thing I will speak about is contentment. It is so important for you to be content when you want to build wealth with God. Funny enough, I was talking about this with my husband, you know, the other day, and I was just telling him that I just love the Lord. And I love the Lord because he's not interested in giving us success that destroys our own soul. Many times when you see people who look like they just came on the on the scene. You are like, where did this person come from? Who are they? You've probably been working with the Lord for decades. You just don't even know. Sometimes people have been with the Lord for years. You are just the one that is just finding out, you know, about them. The Lord is not in a hurry to trust us with things because He doesn't want it to kill us. He wants us to not just get there, but stay there. So the character that is needed to stay there is also very, very important. Satan, on the other hand, doesn't care about your soul. He can give you fame when you are what, 16, and you feel like, oh, your life is really going well. Oh, people know you, you're having money. But by the time you are 20, you are dealing with depression, your soul is empty, you are sick in your body as well because of venereal infections, diseases, all sorts of things. He uses the thing to destroy you. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So even when you see people, certain people having success, don't envy them. That success is not good success. This is a process. You'll be working on this thing until Jesus comes in glory. God will keep trusting you at different levels, at different levels, at different levels. And you just have to be patient, which is why patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You can't be too in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, just leave God and find something else to use to get you to where it is that you're going to. But if it is God, you will learn how to be patient because there are other things He's working beyond whatever blessing He wants to give you. God wants you to last, not just appear on the scene and be the rave of the moment for like a year or two, but for you to last for decades. And even generations after, they'll be saying, Catherine Coleman. Decades after, generations after, they will still be speaking about you. You know, I think one of my favorite scriptures is in, is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? I'll have to check. But it speaks about how godliness with contentment is great gain. And speaks about how we came into this world with nothing and we will leave this world with nothing. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. And I just want to round this off with a prayer by just saying that, Father, I present these ones before you. And I just ask that the spirit of contentment will descend upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you give them the spirit of diligence, that they will not be lazy in the mighty name of Jesus. That there will be people who take pride in the work of their hands as well, who will gain satisfaction from seeing that their hard work is bringing results in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray even for those who are stay-at-home moms or dads, that you will give them, Lord Jesus, the grace to be faithful in that place that you have placed them in, that their fruitfulness will be in their children in the mighty name of Jesus, that those children will grow up strong like oaks in the mighty name of Jesus and will be the pride and joy of not just their parents but the entire world in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for every person who is thinking of a career change, that you will give them wisdom to make the right choices in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for the ones who have been afflicted by the enemy, who have been caught or trapped in generational poverty and wickedness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we set them free today in the name of Jesus. We set them free today in the name of Jesus. I say to you, he who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus. Whatever held your parents down will not hold you down in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you are 50 years old watching this. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus. And Spirit of the Living God, I just release this video and this content to you, and I just ask, let people be blessed. Let people not carry this burden or this yoke and this heaviness with them into the new year. Take this, Lord, and set them free in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' most mighty and precious name we have prayed. Amen. So if you got to the end of this video, I want to say a few things. Quick story time. God actually told me to share this a few months ago when I was just lying in bed and meditating on His goodness to me, reflecting on where I'm coming from and just feeling grateful to be living in moments that were once my prayer point. So as I was doing this, the Lord spoke to my heart and I knew it was time to publicly share, you know, beyond just the getting a job and working hard, some of the things that I've done that has helped me to not just generate an income or money or whatever, but to move from lack to abundance. I was very hesitant to do this because I know that in many Christian faiths, many people believe that once you're saved, that's it, you know. And I get that, you know, but there's a scripture that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. From experience, I have seen and I have come to learn that there are some things that are hanging over your life that will not break until you choose to enforce that thing, and until you choose to say it, to insist in prayer and in your declarations until you see it happen. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ has gotten the victory for you, but it will not automatically manifest. You have to speak it, insist on it. So you may see why I was hesitant to share it. It's not a nice, cute story that you can tell with jokes, you know, but it's a very solemn one, you know. And this type of conversations usually terrify people. But I just really pray that this message will reach the people that it's actually supposed to get to. I filmed this video like three different times. Every time I do it, something goes wrong with the footage. Something goes wrong with the audio. Like, there's just always a problem. And so I just decided that, you know what, I'm not going to let this stop me anymore. I'm just going to film this and put out, which is what you guys have watched. So if this is not for you, that's fine. You can just click out and move on. But if this was for you and you were blessed, please don't forget to share with other people. I always say this, so that they can be blessed as well. Also, I think there was a miscommunication in the thing I posted to my community tab, where I wrote about some issues I was having with my gear, and I guess I didn't word it properly. I'm not saying that I'm taking a break from YouTube now. I'm saying that I'm going to start ordering those things, and you know, by the time those things get here and I'm trying to figure out like how to use them, or you know, all of that, there might be moments when I will not post. So it's not now, but in case you don't see me, that was the whole point of it. So I'm not trying to spread panic, or you know, I think there was a miscommunication. Anyway, thank you so much guys for hanging out with me again today. I will see you in my next video.